World Sport from the BBC with Andrew Horse. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Manchester City's hopes of a domestic treble in English football end with FA Cup defeat.
Ball played in low, here's a chance for Perch, and it's 2-0! Remarkably, in the first minute of the second half, Perch is up from a right wing back position, and he has put Wigan 2-0 in front, and you cannot believe the celebrations that are happening right yards away from him now.
Well, we've live tennis as the biggest name yet falls at Indian Wells, and there's some success for Jamaica's troubled athletics team at the World Indoor Championships. But we'll start with football, where Wigan repeated their feat of last year by beating Manchester City in the FA Cup. Their 2-1 quarter-final win came at City's Etihad Stadium through a Jordi Gomez penalty and a goal from the defender James Perch. Sami Nasri got one back for the home side with 22 minutes to go, but defeat ended hopes of a City domestic treble of Premier League, FA Cup and League Cup. The Wigan boss Uwe Rosler used to play for Manchester City and says pre-match preparations paid off.
I studied the game, the two games last season from Roberto. Roberto's tactic was absolutely spot on. I know we didn't have the same team. We have still a very good squad. It was more up to the mental side that we're not coming here and sitting back what a lot of teams does and hope for the best. So the only chance you can have against Manchester City to try to match them up in possession and we try to pass the ball, make them work off the ball. And especially in the first half, there was a tremendous, tremendous performance.
Well, Rosler's opposite number, Manuel Pellegrini, felt City had enough chances to win the game.
I think that we have four chances to score. We didn't put more plays in attacking. We continue playing the way we always play. We change Negredo for Seco, we continue with both strikers, we change Milner for Navas, and Yaya that was with yellow card, we put Navi a little bit back. But I think that we continue playing that way and we had clear chances to score.
Among the other quarterfinals, an all Premier League tie at Hull, who faced Sunderland, with Hull coming out on top, winning 3-0 in the end. Curtis Davis and David Myler among the scorers there. And for Steve Bruce, it was a return to the club he used to manage. He says the win is a thank you present to Hull's loyal fans who stuck with the club over some thinner years.
Big games are decided often by first goals, and we had a wonderful opportunity. You know, Matty Fryde had a wonderful header chance as well, and then of course a penalty, you miss it. But at half time I just said to them, look, it's gone. You know, we've played particularly well, I thought, in the first half too. I didn't think we were in any pressure in the game whatsoever, but we had to move it quicker to the wider areas. When you look at our history, and it's not steeped in wonderful success, so I'm delighted for the people who supported the club through the thick and the thin times and supported that club for year after year after year. They can hopefully save up a little bit of money and get themselves to Wembley, and it's for those people I'm delighted for, because 1930 is the last team. So I don't think there's many around who went to that one, and if there is, I'll buy them a ticket.
Well, there was one other FA Cup tie today featuring two clubs from outside the English Premier League. Sheffield United, who play in the third tier, beat Charlton, who are in the second. They won 2-0 in front of almost 30,000 home fans, with one of the winning United players, Michael Doyle, overcome with emotion after their victory.
It's just amazing. You know, to be here is unbelievable. And you've got tears in your eyes.
Yeah, well, it's just the FA Cup, you know, just probably the only country this could happen in. This cup means so much all over the world. At the start of this cup, we were bottom of the league in the third division. And look where it's took us now. We're reaching for the stars, really, to get to Wembley, and let's see where we go.
Well, in the semi-finals, Arsenal will play Wigan, and it'll be Sheffield United against Hull. Well, in the United States, it's the opening weekend of the new Major League Soccer season, with renewed interest in the league after David Beckham announced plans to support a team in Miami and Manchester City backing a new side in New York. Well, the league used to perhaps have a reputation as a place where players could go to retire, but the former American international goalkeeper Casey Keller is convinced that's not the case anymore.
They don't want to be a graveyard. They don't want to, you know, bring in guys at 37, 38. They're more willing to pay for guys a little bit earlier in their time and pay a little bit more because they can afford to, because they're having the success of time and pay a little bit more because they can afford to, because they're having the success of fans coming to the stadium and sponsorship and TV deals that are starting to improve. And, you know, get guys at 32, 33 where there's still a little bit more fuel in the tank.
Real Madrid are 3 points clear of City rivals Atletico at the top of the Spanish league after a 3-0 win over Levante, with Marcelo and Cristiano Ronaldo among the scorers. Borussia Dortmund beat Freiburg by a 1-0 to consolidate second in the German Bundesliga, while Ghana's Kwadwo Asamoah gave Serie A leaders Juventus a 1-0 win over fourth place Fiorentina in Italy. They have a 100% home league record, and they're a long way clear now of second place Roma, who lost 1-0 at Napoli. Lazio's problems deepened as they lost 1-0 at home to Atalanta in an almost deserted Stadio Olimpico. Fans are staying away in a protest against the club president, Claudio Lotito. And to complete the football, the 2013 African Champions League winners Al Ahly had to come through a penalty shootout before making the last 16. The Egyptian side beat Tanzania's Young Africans 1-0 in Alexandria to level the tie at 1-1 on aggregate before winning on spot kicks. There also qualification for DR Congo side TP Mazembe and Ali Benghazi of Libya, who knocked out Ghana's Berekum Chelsea with a 2-0 win. Well, that's tennis and the Indian Wells event, packed full of the leading men and women's players in California. The biggest name to fall so far has gone out today with the exit of Thomas Burdick. With more on that and the match between Caroline Wozniacki and Yaroslava Shidovanova on the main stadium court, I'll let Russell Fuller pronounce that correctly.
Well, I don't need to pronounce her more than one more time, Yaroslava Shvedova, because she's just been beaten by Caroline Wozniacki after quite a tight match. The third set one-way traffic won by Wozniacki by 6-1, but very tight up until that point. Thomas Burdick was beaten by Roberto Bautista Agut of Spain, who beat Juan Martin Del Potro at the Australian Open and took the decider 6-4 today. Talking of Del Potro, he's decided not to play in the singles here this week now. The left wrist that has been troubling him on and off since last August and September's US Open is still very much a concern. And in the women's competition today, we've had wins for Simona Halep, who is the sixth seed. She beat Lucy Safarova in three sets. And also the Australian Open semi-finalist Eugenie Bouchard has knocked out the ninth seed Sara Errani 6-3, 6-3.
BBC's tennis correspondent Russell Fuller. Well, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce won the women's 60 metres on the final day of the World Indoor Athletics Championships in Poland, and the world record holder Genzé Bidibaba took the 3,000 metres title. Here's our athletics correspondent Ed Harry.
Fraser-Pryce is now world champion at 60, 100 and 200 metres, having also won the 100 at the last two Olympics. Muriel Ahure led until the closing stages here, but the Jamaican chased her down. In her last three world sprint finals, two outdoors and this one, Ivory Coast's Ahure has won silver behind Fraser-Pryce. 21-year-old Caleb Undiko won Kenya's only gold of the championships, beating the three times defending champion Bernard Lagat in the men's 3,000 metres. World record holder Genzebe Dibaba won the women's race. Three world records for the Ethiopian in February, now gold in March. Her teammate Mohamed Aman successfully defended his 800 metres title, and the USA set a world record in the men's 4x4 as they finished the year's only global championship top of the medals table.
At the Winter Paralympics in Sochi, it was a Japanese 1-2 on the podium of the men's Super G sitting class. Conditions were difficult, with half the field failing to finish as snow deteriorated thanks to warm weather. And there were gold medals at stake in three disciplines of alpine skiing on Sunday. Jamie Broughton reports.
Japan's Akira Kano won the men's Super G race in the category for seated skiers. He finished just over 2 seconds clear of the field at the Rosa Couture Mountain Centre, where racing conditions weren't easy as the warm weather has melted the ice, making the terrain much rougher than normal. In the visually impaired version of the race for skiers who compete with the aid of a sighted guide, the gold medal went to Slovakia's Jakub Krakow. Meanwhile, in the standing category of the Super G race, victory was claimed by Austria's Marcus Selscher.
And in rugby union, England beat Wales 29-18 in the Six Nations Championship, the Northern Hemisphere title. That's the latest world sport from the BBC.